Well, working through the parables is one of my favorite things to do, because I love to try and decode the parables, because they're a message that is written in a particular time and in a particular place to a particular group of people. And one of the ways I try to work with them is to try and translate them into a modern image. If Jesus were to tell the story today, what would he place in those images? I try to figure out what parts we can still relate to and which parts are a bit of a mystery. So when the parable starts out with the words, "The kingdom of heaven is like," I hope that when we reach that place, when we've decided what the kingdom of heaven is like, it's actually a place that we would want to be. Because if it's not, or it feels uncomfortable, somehow I think we haven't quite come to the right conclusion or the right interpretation. And I think this parable in particular is one that kind of has an uncomfortable interpretation, and so it falls short of the goal. On the surface, this story is one we think we can relate to. After all, we've all done committee work, haven't we? The church is the great repository of committee work. And I travel around to a lot of different churches, and I see all kinds of crazy making sometimes for committees. One church was looking for a 10th person to join the library committee, because they had a chair and a vice chair and a secretary and a treasurer and a person that went out and bought the books and a person that wrote, and they were looking for one more position. I can't remember exactly what it was. So I thought, they must have a really awesome library. And it was a single shelf of books, requiring 10 people to meet for 1 hour to advertise. And I think committees give us room to feed our egos as well. After all, we've worked hard for months and months while some of the committee, not mentioning anybody's name, am I not looking up while I say this, take all the credit. We've all worked jobs where we got the same pay as the person sitting next to us, but have done 10 times or 20 times more work than the person sitting next to us. And it seems to grow like fish stories with every telling, too. From the time we're children, we want to divide the smarties equally every time, by color. Right? And God help us if somebody gets in line in front of us in the grocery store. I mean, goodness, you'd have to wait a whole extra 3 minutes to get through that grocery store line. So when Jesus tells the story, we are like, yes, of course we're going to complain when we aren't treated fairly. The problem is that parables are meant to create a shocking reaction in those that hear them and turn our thinking upside down. And so really, if that's kind of the conclusion we're coming to, or that's the part we focus on, we probably miss the point of the parable, because it's really not that shocking that we want everything equal, everything fair, everybody in line gets their fair turn, and we want the recognition that we deserve for the work that we've done. So right now, we could say the kingdom of heaven is like a bunch of school kids trying to divide up a bunch of smarties. And somehow that's not what Jesus, I don't think, was trying to convey. At least that's not my kingdom. So let's try again. The kingdom of heaven is like. And so I wondered, in getting to what the kingdom of heaven is like, how much would a denarii, one denarii, buy in biblical times? And there's a couple places in the scripture that refer to denarii. And the first one I'm going to refer to is the one we just read. "For the kingdom of heaven is like a householder who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for a denarii a day," in our translation it says for a day's wages, "he sent them into his vineyard." And the disciple, and in the story, when Jesus fed the multitudes, before he multiplied the bread, the disciples defined the problem. Lifting up his eyes and seeing that a multitude was coming to him, Jesus said to Philip, "How are we to buy bread so that these people may eat?" He said this to test him, for he knew what he would do, which was to multiply the bread. Philip answered him, 200 denarii would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little. So 200 denarii, 200 days' wages, with nothing else to buy, would not feed the multitude in front of him. So a person working for a better part of the year and donating all of their wages could not buy enough, just bread, let alone anything else. And in the story of the Good Samaritan, we read, but a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back. So 2 denarii was down payment for a hospital stay in biblical times. And when Judas saw the perfume being poured out as an offering on Jesus' feet, he was incensed. But Judas Iscariot, one of the disciples who was about to betray him, said, why was this ointment not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief, and as he had money, the money box, he used to take what was put into it. So the woman who poured the oil and perfume on Jesus' feet gave 300 days worth of wages of a value. So that was a huge donation to the poor if that had been used that way. And I found one more interesting study in Rome. 1 egg was 1 denarii. 2 denarii was a loaf of bread, and a bunch of grapes was 4 denarii. And it estimated that to live well, but not with meat, you'd need 400 denarii a month. 400 a month. So your living wage is 1 denarii, or your day's wage, not a living wage, is 1 denarii, and it estimates you need 400 to live well. So just to give you a sense, so keep that in mind. 1 egg, 1 denarii, 1 bunch of grapes, 4 denarii. So being a common laborer in biblical days was much like working for a temp agency today. If there was work and the person that was hiring you liked you, you might get a job. But if you were weak or infirm or disabled in any way that might affect your productivity, you simply weren't hired or weren't hired back. It was a little bit like being picked for gym class or sports teams. How many of you were picked first for gym class? Hands up. Oh, got one. How many of you were picked last? Yeah. It's all right. It's all right. We can talk about it afterwards. But most of us remember that feeling just for a sports team. Can you imagine how much more horrible it feels when you're not picked to work for your family's upkeep and living and food and care? So when Jesus talks about the landowner and his vineyard, he has a harvest that he needs to complete so that he goes out at the beginning of the day and hires the best and the strongest and the hardest working. That's what his audience would have understood. Don't forget, we're talking about people who live in small towns. They know who the best workers are. There's no mystery. They pay for a day's work was 1 denarii, 1 egg, a couple of days, and you could have a loaf of bread too. And I remember when my family moved from Montreal to Toronto. The moving van, the moving van was 2 days late showing up. Now, most of you know it's an 8-hour drive there, so how could it be 2 days late showing up? But it was, and that was before the days of cell phones and GPS trackers, so all we could do was wait. So they pulled up to the manse, because my dad was a Baptist minister, opened up the truck, took out the kitchen table and 4 chairs and a case of beer, and sat down and had a drink. And I don't know whether my father was more horrified by their work ethic or the fact that people were drinking on the lawn of the Baptist minister. But we never hired that company again because they didn't do a good job. They weren't worthy of their day's wages. So where are we? The kingdom of heaven is like a man that picks the best and brightest. The kingdom of heaven is like Donald Trump on The Apprentice. No, no, no. We need to keep going. That can't possibly be the interpretation. So then the man returns a second time to the marketplace. And a third time. And a fourth time. And then at the 11th hour. That means the last hour of the day. So if you have a 9-to-5 work day, he goes back to the temp agency at 4 o'clock in the afternoon and asks somebody to go work for one more hour of the day. At this time, he promises to pay them whatever is right. So he doesn't even take the time to negotiate a contract with them. So the kingdom of heaven is like a person that can't get organized. No, that's our government. The kingdom of heaven is not found in parliament. We still need to keep going. So when he returns that fourth time, which would begin to seem really preposterous to his audience, so his audience is now going, what the heck? What is this story about? It doesn't make any sense. So now they're starting to get intrigued. But some level they understand that because if you're following along, a bunch of grapes in the vineyard is how many denarii? Four. So if all he goes out and picks one bunch of grapes, he's still ahead of the game. So perhaps the kingdom of heaven is like a greedy man. Perhaps lazy because he refuses to do the work himself. So at this point, Jesus' audience is just as confused as we are. Because let's face it, if you only got one more hour in the day, you don't go running down to your temp agency to go pick up another couple of workers. Probably not. You just would throw yourself into the task yourself. So it's beginning to swirl. And everybody said, what's wrong with this man? Why is he hiring everybody? That's crazy making. You're hiring the people that nobody hires at this point. So the story goes on. It comes time to pay the workers, and he pays those that were hired last and worked least, and behold, he gives them one denarii, a full day's wages. They were the infirm, the elderly, the struggling, perhaps even the lazy, but the people that nobody hired. They were the last people to be picked for the team. And when he asked them, why have you been standing here all day doing nothing? And they replied saying, because no one has hired us, implication being that they didn't even bother to go to the marketplace in the earlier part of the day because they knew they wouldn't be hired. It was an even bigger waste of time and energy. But the landowner was searching them out. He had to be looking for them. Why would you bother to go higher in the last hour of the day? You'd be better to go into the fields and pick yourself. It is in the payment of the workers that we begin to see the kingdom of heaven. It's a place where all are welcome, regardless of ability. And the king is searching for you even if you aren't searching for God. Even if you didn't bother to get out of bed this morning and look for God, God is looking for you. And God, to his audience, was shockingly generous. A full day's wages to the workers. They didn't have to beg on the streets or go home empty-handed. A denarii kept their families from starving. Barely. And he gave the least, those that worked least, their wages first. Because it gave them a chance to go before those that were coming up to receive their denarii. So the kingdom of heaven is a place where all have dignity, where there is equity and equality. When Jesus said, he shall be first, the last to receive employment for the day, were the first to be paid, so they had their dignity. But then the next group gets paid, and they get a denarii as well. And so it continues with each group getting increasingly hopeful that they will receive more. And then when those hopes weren't realized, they began to complain. And this too would have been shocking to the audience. Because why are they complaining? Families aren't going to go hungry. A person did their best to earn a day's wages. So it makes me wonder, are there places where God's kingdom doesn't come on earth because we complain out of jealousy, pettiness, or perhaps a failure to look at our own blessings? Or to trust that God will continue, not begin to care for us? That's what we read in the story of the Israelites, of people who forgot God's incredible blessings and journey and sustenance and stopped trusting. Well, it got me to thinking. Because in the news, we read about a burst of refugee claimings who illegally crossed the border from Minnesota into Manitoba. All 22 people, a burst, crossed the border, with 19 people making the trek on a Saturday in minus 20 weather. I forgot to look up how many people are in this country, 26 million, 30 million, and we're worried about 19 people that we might have to shelter or feed. Could we sit on committees and be grateful for the little bit that a person is able to give? Because sometimes we just don't know what they're going through or how much they have on their plate. Could we be thankful for our governments? See, I was convicted in writing this sermon because I was picking on the governments and really complaining about the governments in a sermon where I was going to talk about don't complain. Didn't even notice my own complaining. Can we be thankful? Can we give more to our communities so it's easier for our governments? Can we help them move in the directions that they would like to go? Mistakes and faults at all. And you know, complaining causes memory loss. The Israelites forgot about God's marvelous display of power. They're ready to return to the so-called amazing life they had in Egypt. You know, the ones where they were beaten and worked to death and were expected to work as slaves in God's program, and Pharaoh killed all of the male children that were born and many others suffered. That's what they were saying, hey, what'd you bring us out here for? It was so much better back there. But complaining and forgetting and being petty and jealous stopped God's kingdom from coming. So what is the conclusion? The kingdom of heaven is filled with generosity for everyone, where everyone has enough, where the young and the old, the strong and the weak have the opportunity to participate. The kingdom of heaven has a God that is constantly looking for us, waiting for us, watching for us. The kingdom of heaven is a place we want to usher in, to claim as our place. Amen. Well, in the bulletin this morning, there was a little bit of a challenge to fill out a piece of paper that talked a little bit about what do you like about Burlington East Presbyterian Church. So I made my own list. I see one church where I used to see three. You have a pastor that's fun. You have an administrative assistant that puts up with a pastor that's fun and does amazing music and decorations. And Helena is here today. I give thanks to the Adventees that I have been here for. And men who are willing to dress up as elves and Santa Claus to come to the Advent tea. That's very special. Coffee snacks. the garden that's so beautiful. Air conditioning. You care when people are hurting. And you are a warm and welcoming people that work together. So as we take up our morning's offerings, maybe think about what's on that list for you and give thanks.